Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everyone to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, your host. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom, which has been empowering women through an annual conference every year since 1993 in February. And we have a great time at this conference. We have very intimate, transformative workshops. They're in-depth, they're healing, they're experiences where women can get together and share our stories, witness each other, and transform our personal and collective consciousness. So we've been changing the world for 26 years, and we're on to our 27th. Our next conference coming up is this February 15th through the 17th. And our theme this year is Spark Our Creative Fire, Dance in Power and Beauty. You can attend one day, Saturday or Sunday, or both days, where you can experience workshops in creative arts, spirituality, body, mind, spirit healing, movement, all sorts of wonderful presenters that we have sharing their gifts. And your registration fee includes our community activities and meals, including our special banquet on Saturday evening. So we invite you to join us. Just go to check out our website, which has all the events listed and how you can register. Go to www.womenofwisdom.org. And we're having a special Friday evening opening event. It's a musical called Nightingale, a musical regarding the life and passion of Miss Florence Nightingale, and that's on the February 15th, and all these are held at North Seattle College. And today I am interviewing one of our presenters, who is Jennifer Sundstrom. And she is an herbalist in the wise woman tradition and sadhak on the path of sound, one foot in the corporate world and one foot in the esoteric realms. Jennifer lives the example of bridging spiritual life with daily work life. Sparkling and dynamic, Jennifer offers private group classes on various herbal topics and sound workshops in the greater Seattle area. Jennifer regularly leads and participates in bhakti devotional chanting as the blissful path to celebrate the divine spirit that resides in all of us. And you can look at her website and find out more about her at seattleherbalist.com. And her workshop she is giving on Sunday is Sound Play, Goddess Voices with Jennifer Sundstrom. So welcome, Jennifer.
Oh, thanks, Chris. It's great to be here.
Yes, well, and you've been a participant and a presenter at Women of Wisdom for many years. Why don't you, I would love for you to just share a little bit of your experience at WOW.
Yeah, it's been about 10 years that I've been, 10 or so years that I've been a presenter at the conference, which is really amazing, and then a participant for years before that. And what's extraordinary to me is how the space is created to be so empowering for women. You know, the workshops are wonderful. And what's even more wonderful for me is the time in between workshops, connecting with other women and seeing someone and sparking with them and really being able to, you know, have these connections and meet incredible people doing incredible work in the world that I had no idea was happening. So not only is it empowering for me, it's also a source of inspiration and a source of connection. It's such a wonderful thing, Chris, and bless you for creating this 26 years ago as a space for all of us to come together.
Yeah, it was a vision after reading The Feminine Face of God, which is a beautiful book of different women's stories, women from different spiritual backgrounds. And that just inspired me. A couple of weeks after reading it, this vision came in of, oh, we should have people like these come. I was at Seattle Unity Church then. I was on the board, and it just came like, hey, let's bring these people. They always had Wednesday night programs. And then it immediately came in, let's create a week-long conference so women we can create community. So that's how it happened. And in the old days, it was started out as a week, and then it became 9 days to encompass 2 weekends. And we did that for many years. And now it's reduced down to 2 days, but it's still just as powerful. It's just not possible to do that kind of a conference anymore. But was quite something when we did that.
And I read that book also, Feminine Face of God, many, many years ago, and it really stuck with me. And, you know, the way the author had portrayed things and the different things she had tried on her spiritual path, and a result of that was I also created a circle, and we're about 10 to 12 women, and so I have a monthly group that also meets as a result of reading that book. So it's what a great book to inspire people to come together.
Yeah, so true. And it's so needed now, even just as valid now as 27 years ago, for women to gather and support each other, witness each other. And it still comes up. You know, I remember in the beginning years of really realizing that women were very isolated. And in talking just recently, women are still feeling that. And we're so busy in our lives doing everything else but kind of our internal work and taking care of ourselves, that we don't take time to be just sit and be with other women as much as would be helpful for everybody. And with the Me Too movement and just everything that's going on, we need that support. We need that gathering. And this is a time where we just gather for a weekend to just indulge in that for ourselves. And like you say, the connections, and we meet people in workshops and do this work, but then it's in between time. And that's why we created the meals, where we have a 2-hour lunch break, where we also have activities. And you're going to be, you're doing sound again, aren't you, for one of our times? Chanting?
Yes, sound is really powerful. People using their own voice. I find as we are doing our work, you know, we all have these kind of hang-ups about whatever it was from our past. But when we are really strong in our voice, when we are really powerful in our message, and part of that is coming out and being seen. And it can really be like a thing just to be seen in the world, because when you're seen, it makes you vulnerable. It opens you up to, you know, people criticizing. And so I use sound and people saying and using their voice as a way to come out in the world. And even when you don't know what you're going to say, we improvise. And it's a way of getting yourself out there so that you can then do your message about whatever your message is and have more confidence and have more ability to come out and be seen as you are doing your work in the world. So it's a very powerful medium, sound is.
Right. And we're going to start, I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but I think we do some morning activities for a half hour before we go to the workshops. And I think you're on Sunday morning. And so we're going to start off the day with you getting everybody in their body voicing and chanting with each other, and just kind of wakes us up and gets us ready to go to our workshops. And that's a great way to start the day.
Yeah, it super is. I sound every morning. Every morning I make some kind of sound. It doesn't always look the same, but just starting, you know, get some sound moving, you know, whether it's humming or, you know, and yeah, so it's just such a great way to get the energy flowing.
Yes. Well, let's start with, you've already shared a little bit, but how did you get started with this voice work?
Wow. That's, I could talk, you know, for an hour about this, but I'll try and condense it down to a short nutshell version. I was doing an apprenticeship with Susan Weed, and in the course of the apprenticeship, what I saw in my life for myself is you know, I was looking at the rule of threes, you know, and the rule of threes plays out in a lot of different ways, and you see it like the paradigm all over the place. You know, you see it in religions, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You see it in, you know, Maiden, Mother, Crone. So you see this kind of rule of threes, and I was looking at the rule of threes in my life and thinking, okay, to have a healthy life, I thought to myself, you must have, you know, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual. Those were my threes, right? Intellectual, okay, got that. Super smart. Emotional, work in progress. And when I looked at the spiritual side of my life, I was like, wow, I'm really lacking here. So that was what I was planning on doing. That was what I wanted to do, and that was the place where I wanted my personal growth, was on the spiritual side. And that's when I read The Feminine Face of God, as we talked about. And what I saw for myself, okay, so I'm on this spiritual path. I want to bring spirituality into my life. What does that look like? And during the course of that, you know, as I'm going through this work, I built an altar and I, you know, oh, what is that? I don't know. But I encountered my voice teacher, Gina Salah. And, you know, it was a horrible, horrible breakdown, ugly crying experience for me. Which said to me, oh my gosh, there's really something to learn here. Oh, wow, you're having this huge emotional reaction. I guess you better pursue this. So I encountered, that's how I came to it. I encountered Gina and I began doing voice work myself. And, you know, I didn't know how much I hated my own voice, which is, of course, a reflection of my own self-esteem.
Right, but that's common for a lot of women.
It's common for a lot of people, women and men.
People. Yes.
And I didn't really realize that lived in me. I thought, of course, I don't hate myself, but I did. And so I had to work through that, and it was, you know, grueling self-work. I would go to class with Gina, and, you know, one thing I know about myself is that if I commit my financial resources to something, then I'm really committed. Like, I'm really going to do it. If I put my money down, I'm going to do it. So I paid for the entire series of classes up front with Gina. Okay, I'm really committed. I'm going to do this. And I don't want to waste my money. So that really, like, I know this about myself. So I went, and every time, like, I just had such an emotional experience around it. I hated my voice. I'm never going to sound as good as Gina. Like, every time I would go home and I would cry. Cry mm-hmm. because I'm not good now. Cry because, you know, oh, I'm just not going to sound good. And, like, this was a lifetime of baggage that I was carrying around with me that I had no idea. So it was through the journey of doing this that, you know, at some point you reach a breaking point, and I did too. And I just got so exhausted with all this baggage I had been carrying around that I didn't even know that I had, that I finally set it down. And when I set it down, that's when I really began to blossom in voice. And it was such a powerful experience to me to go through this journey of self-realization. And it was such a simple thing, just put your voice out there. Oh, no, I can't. It became, and then I began to see it in other people, and I was like, wow, I've really walked this journey myself, and I know what that's like, and I know them, I know how to get past it. And one thing I really got from Gina was, you know, how much I can really help people along and coach them along in that, because the only thing that really helps during that time is, you know, is love. Someone loved me. Someone loved my voice even when I didn't. And I see that now.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the way through. And it's very deep work. It's very simple work, and it's very deep.
Well, Gina's amazing, and we've had her at Woman of Wisdom, so I know what you're talking about. And then I was thinking when you were, you know, going through this emotional turmoil of going through this class and the classes and not feeling like you had a voice, is that thing we do of, and I think particularly women, is comparing ourselves. Like, if you compare yourself with Gina, of course you don't have a voice like Gina. And to realize that we have our own voices, and the value of our own voices is so important, that we do not have other people's voices. We're never going to sound like Gina. I'm not going to sound like you. I'm going to be me, and to own and love that. And that's what your journey was, to discover that.
Absolutely. It's not just the top 10, you know, voices, the top 10 birds in the forest that sing. All the birds in the forest sing. And we need each and every bird in the forest singing at their different ways in order to have this beautiful, you know, orchestra. And yet our society doesn't look at it that way. If you look at shows like The Voice and you look at, you know, these types of things, if you don't sound great, then you're out of there. Well, that's some kind of superficial, you know, paradigm that we take up. But that's not how it is in the real world. Because each one of us has our work to do in the world, and it's all different work, and thank God, right? And yet we need to be really powerful and really sure about what our work is so that we can go and do that work.
Oh, and that's what happens at Woman of Wisdom, is that opportunity to go into yourself and see what is mine to do, what are my gifts, and be witnessed by other people, because other people go, oh, yeah, I see that in you. Or they might see it before you do. You know, that happens too.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's so important to gather.
It is. There's so much work that needs to be done in our world right now. You know, you just have to turn on the news for 5 minutes and see that there's a lot of work that we need to do. And there's so many different avenues and ways and modalities to do that work. You know, for example, like painting and drawing. Like, I totally suck at that, okay? I am not a painter and a drawer. But there are people out there that resonate strongly with that, and we bring that, and they bring it into the world in so many different ways, like youth, you know, gangs, and you bring art in, and you have this expression. That is a wonderful healing path. And yet, if you can't articulate that very well, then it's just a little bit harder to reach people. So I really get that my work is with voice, that my helping people is with their voice, for them to go out and be empowered to do their own work, which is not my work. So, like, all of us together, we need all of us doing our sacred, you know, work in the world, so that we have a world that works for everyone.
So true, and that really means like shining our light on what our gifts are, and you mentioned something about feeling, I think you said that, invisible, you know, like if you don't value your voice and you're not heard, you're kind of, you know, sitting back and being invisible. And it's time for women particularly to stop doing that. You know, we need to be visible. We need to stand up, be seen, speak our truth, speak up for what we believe in, for what we think is right, for and sharing our gifts, to not shy away. We have a woman who is a coordinator over in West Sound. It's over in Paulsbo. And, oh, my goodness, she is a beautiful artist. And she's starting to put her art in our notices and the email in the newsletter of advertising the Wow West Sound. And she says, yeah, I'm starting to come out as an artist. And she's been so shy about it. And it's beautiful. And so we need, you know, I'm just encouraging her, like, hey, we need you at the conference. We need your art at the conference. You know, start making prints, doing, you know. And so that's what we need to do is get out there and show, not be shy about what our gifts are. Shameless, bold promotion, what we call it.
It's true, right? And we do need her. We need her out there creating art in the world because that inspires people, and we need that. And what happens is when you're visible, like, you can be a target. And so there's fear comes up. And, you know, mm-hmm. one of the great, great men, you know, Martin Luther King, he voiced his dream, and it made him a target. And so, like, the consequences are real, and yet what am I trying to say here? The other side is that you are not fulfilling on your authentic expression in the world, that you live a reduced life. And some people are, you know, content with that. But I think what the world needs, what all of us need, is we need more Martin Luther King standing up, sharing our beliefs, sharing our visions and our dreams for what's possible in the world. And, like, I have that, too. Like, it comes into my life. Like, I feel, oh, my gosh, like, people are going to see me. Uh-huh. And, you know, then they're going to judge me. Who judges me? Like, I judge myself, right? But this is what we need so desperately in the world, is that we need more people standing up and sharing and letting themselves be seen as an inspiration for all.
Well, you're an example of that. I mean, you just shine, and I know when you sing, you're just glowing, and you bring that to your workshop. So there's a question, like, why singing workshops? You know, what's the there's more to it. It's not just for people who want to learn how to sing or want to learn how to chant. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, it's not. It's really about you using your own voice, you know, authentically empowered. And, you know, singing and chanting is just one doorway into that. But there's more doorways into that. And really what we're talking about is we're talking about doorways into the heart space. And so sound is one doorway. Imagery is another doorway. You know, there's more than one doorway. And so here's what it is with my workshop is, like, A, it has to be fun. Okay. If it's not fun, like, why am I doing this? And so it's this space where it's fun. I'm going to look totally goofy, and I'm going to be doing goofy things, and you're going to laugh at me, and then you're going to start doing them too, and then you're going to realize, oh my gosh, this, like, I'm having fun, like, my energy is raised, and then you become, you know, you become used to using your voice, and I, like, totally love your voice already, so come, because, like, you're adorable. And so yes, we do chant. We do some singing, but we also do vocal improv. Now, vocal improv is another area where, you know, after I finished my studies with Gina, I began to do vocal improv. And what I realized in vocal improv is those same things came up. Like, I was really nervous to put my voice out there. I didn't know what I was going to say. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's the same thing. It's the same lesson that has come up in this other modality. So vocal improv, you know, was really a tool for, like, I don't know what's going to happen, but put yourself out there. And it can be really intimidating for people.
Tell us a little more about that. How does vocal improv work? What does it look like?
You know, song is really kind of nice. There's a structure to it. There's a melody. There's words, you know, and you kind of know what you're supposed to do, and you know when you're supposed to sing. There's kind of a rhythm. And so just the structure creates a safety for people to know when to step in. Okay, here's the beat. We're, you know, doing the beat, and then you sing on these beats. There's safety in that. With vocal improv, there's really no structure. There's no beats. There's no words. You just have to come out and make sound. So there's a lack of structure, and you're like, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. so there's quite a bit of like, oh, for me, it was, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I'm going to keep quiet. And isn't that how we are in our lives? Like, we have this idea,
yeah.
We don't really know how to do something, and so we keep quiet about it.
Right. It has to be perfect before we get out there in the world and do it.
Right? And so vocal improv was really like a vehicle, like, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to step out and I'm going to do something. And when you start doing something, then it becomes easier, and something will then coalesce into a kind of a form. So when people, participants, are out in the world doing their work, it's not necessarily going to look like my work, but the point is to step out and do something. And so vocal improv is just a container for being able to step out in to do something, so that when they're out doing their work in the world, they can step out and start doing something, and they don't know what it is exactly. But as you start doing the actions, it does coalesce. So that's like the overarching paradigm or idea of why vocal improv is important in the world.
Well, and it's kind of like practicing, you know, just getting your vocal cords working, and the more comfortable you feel using your voice in just a fun way, the more comfortable you'll be out there when you're sharing your gifts or talking about your gifts.
Yeah, it's powerful work, and it's not the only way. I don't want to be so presumptuous to think that, you know, vocal work is the only way to do it. No, there's lots of ways to do it.
Well, but this is your way. This is your gift to teach. So, you know, I don't know. This might be putting you in the spot, but I would love it if you just shared a little chant with us to give us a little flavor.
Oh, I love chanting. It's like my favorite thing. Sanskrit recitation is like, I'm like addicted to it. Okay. So when I'm driving to work in the morning, you know, it's about a 25, 30 minute drive for me. And one thing I love to do is chant in Sanskrit. Love it. So I'm like a junkie. So I'll chant and I'll chant and I'll chant, and I have like 20-minute chants that I'll go along and do. I'm not going to do that here. But a very simple one that I love to do is chanting to Ganapati. And Ganapati is that elephant-headed god, or Ganesha is another name, in the Hindu, you know, pantheon of gods. And Ganesh is the remover of obstacles and granter of boons. And so there's a very simple chant that I will often come back to. There's a rocking motion that can go along with it. And so rocking is very kind to the body. It reminds people, you know, you can rock with your heartbeat. And the words are, Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. So I do it four times because Ganesh is really the foundation, represented by a square, and he really likes the number four. So we do it four times. I just did it four times, right? But I can just sit there and chant that for you know, hours. And even just keeping, you know, not necessarily out loud, but like internally keeping the motion, keeping, you know, the mantra in my mind, you know, as I'm going through doing whatever I'm doing. It's such a great way to ground and a great, you know, kindness to the body.
Well, that sounds like a spiritual practice, and it sounds like that takes you into a meditative place. And so what happens to you in that state? Do you come out with like creative ideas, or like you start your day driving to work? So does it like make your day flow, and or you come out of it realizing, oh wow, this, I need to talk to this person today, or I need to do this, or you know what I mean?
I mean, if you're anything like me, like the mind is always going crazy with the checklists and the things to do, or that's looking forward. Or also another thing my mind does is, you know, look backward, like the conversations that I had, what were the inflections these people used, and I replay them over in my head again and again and again and again, and, you know, think about what I'm going to say the next time that comes up. Like, the mind is just going crazy, crazy, crazy all the time, talking all the time, incessantly, nonstop, keep going, keep going. And a lot of times that's not always productive. It's not necessarily productive type of things. It can be, but not always. And so when my mind is you know, in the monkey mind. My mind is doing this kind of crazy stuff. You know, chants are like, it's like a little piece of candy. You know, you give your mind a little piece of candy and it'll kind of chew like a hard candy. It kind of chews on that hard candy and, you know, you get it going around in your mouth. And then the mind kind of quiets itself. The mind, you know, notices the predictable nature of the chant. Here it is. Oh, yeah, it's coming again. And it begins to soften its vigilance a little and allows you to experience a deeper sense of peace and relaxation. I chant, and all of these, you know, other thoughts come through, and then I, you know, and then I bring my mind back to the chant. It's not like I try to let them go. I don't try to do anything with them. I just bring my mind back to the chant and focus on the syllables of the chant. And then my mind wanders, and yes, come back to the chant. And what happens is the mind, I experience the mind quiets, and it is very much like meditation. It's like the snowfall, you know, the first snowfall when everything is covered with white, and the land is quiet. And that is a very delicious place to be. It's a great place to drop an intention, a prayer. And then, of course, things speed up. Time speeds up again. And, you know, inspiration can come. Oh, yes, I've got to call this person right now. You know, thoughts and ideas can come in when the mind is quiet. And it becomes very clear what actions need to be taken around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was beautiful. And thank you for sharing your chant. Yeah, I encourage everybody to check out your workshop because now tell me, is it in the morning or afternoon on Sunday? Because I don't have the schedule right in front of me. I'm sure.
It's afternoon. I think it like 2 something. So we'll start, we'll start the day at 9 a.m. with some chanting and kind of getting things worked up. And then my workshop is going to be in the afternoon.
Right. So it's a nice way of ending, of bringing everything together that you've been doing all weekend long with different workshops and meeting different people, and then to bring it kind of like coalesce it into your body with, because doing that sound takes you into your body and you feel the resonance. And so it's a great way to complete the conference experience.
It really can. And I just want to say that, like, everyone is different. You know, I've met people and, you know, they do not resonate with sound so strongly. You know, I have also met people who are in a lot of bodily pain. And when you're in a lot of bodily pain, like, you don't want to go live in the body. Like, it hurts, right? But sound is one way that we can move. You know, we can move pain in the body. And the more you chant, the more you become sensitized to sound, the more you can use it skillfully in your body for pain management. So as an example, it's a very practical when it comes to sound, is I get migraines. And a lot of other people get migraines as well. And so a migraine feels like all of the energy is stuck in your head and it is, you know, bursting at the seams wanting to get out. So what I do as I use sound to help move that energy. So I'll start to hum and I just match, like, however I'm feeling, I try to match my sound to whatever it is that I'm feeling right in my head. And so I'll try to be vibrating my head. And then at the same time, I'll use my hands starting on my forehead or the top of my head, and I'll drag them down my body so I can feel it as a tactile sensation down to my belly. And what that does is the sound starts to break up the energy. And then the hands moving physically down the body to a lower place also helps to move that energy down. So this is a very practical application of using sound to manage pain. And now what I've also done is, like Pavlov's dog, I have some pharmaceuticals that I take with it. And so I take my drugs and then I do this sound technique with a migraine, and I'm training my body like Pavlov's dog to move that sound so that the next time, if I don't have the drugs handy, then I can use the sound and it begins to move that experience. So this, you know, sound can be very practical in your life. It can just be very spiritual in your life. Like, you can use sound however that is for you so that you can manage your life, you know, however that looks. It's not just, you know, oh, we're going to sing, you know, it's not just that. There's practical applications as well.
Right. And it's thank you for that example of like migraine, and there's other bodily pains that I'm sure it can work with. And it's healing. There's, you know, the topic of sound healing. It's healing to use sound and sing to that body part that hurts. You know, you have a sore knee, sing into that, into your knee, you know, because it's vibration.
Absolutely. And so yes, there's a whole realm of sound healing, and,
right.
You know, people have all kinds of, you know, tuning forks, and they have different, you know, frequencies that they use. And there's a whole breadth of work that's around that. And, you know, if that's your thing, like, I totally love that you do that. My area and my gift in the world is just getting people to make noise. You know, in America, we see this, you know, phenomenon of the wounded singer. Like, almost everyone in America has this story about how they were told as a young person, oh, don't sing too loud, you know, your voice isn't that good, you know, don't quit your day job, you know, this type of thing. And what I learned through my work with Gina is that the voice is so intimately connected with the heart that they're the same thing. So that when someone criticizes your voice, like, it hurts. And we begin to shut down around that. So my gift in the world is getting people to open up. Getting people to open up and come to sound and having it be okay. Because we are this culture in America of wounded singers. And I was too, and I still am, right? So it's not separate from me. Like, I'm right in the mix too.
Mm-hmm. And that's being a teacher. I mean, Our presenters are at our conference. They are participants as well. They learn from the participants, and we're all still on a learning journey. Even if we're, you know, there's that thing of looking up to teachers and there's the guru and they know everything. Like, no, we're all still learning. And we create that environment where it's we're all together, because we sit in a circle and our workshops are in a circle. So everyone is fully participating.
Which is one thing that I love. I love the whole circle. Like, everyone gets to contribute. No one's above anyone else. Like, we all get to teach and learn from each other. And I love that circle model. I wish we had more of that in politics.
Yeah. Well, let's just to change a little bit, because you talked about, like, driving to work. You know, how do you navigate your day job? So here you're in this, I imagine, corporate world kind of setting, business setting, with your magical esoteric side.
Many years ago, I was, you know, really debating about whether I should, you know, quit my job and become a full-time herbalist. And, you know, I had to meditate on it quite a lot, and there was a lot that went around that. And what I came to realize is that, you know, my corporate job, you know, I do work in a corporate environment. You know, I have a team, an office team around me. I live in cubicle land. And what I really got to see is that all of these things that I do for my own health and well-being, being an herbalist and doing sound work, like, I have one foot in the door already to this group of people who have, you know, I'm kind of out on the fringe for them. But there's some aspects that, you know, they really want wholeness in their life as well. And so when I bring my herbal infusions in and it's sitting there in the jar and people come by and they say, oh, what's that? I've never seen that before. And that's my then opportunity to introduce them to, look, let me tell you about this oat straw that I'm drinking, or this nettle that I'm drinking, or whatever it is. You know, I'll bring seaweed in. And so, like, this is my audience right here. So all of these things that I've cultivated in my life because I want them, I can now, you know, I can now share that with my team around me. And some of them are looking for that, and some of them are looking for something different. And it's an opportunity, you know, for me to be with a group of people who would not normally be exposed to this type of thing. And so whenever I'm doing workshops or teaching classes or, you know, doing whatever it is that I'm doing, like, the invitation is there for all of my colleagues and all of my coworkers. And it's like, I really get that this is my audience. You know, these are the people, this is a community that I'm going to be, you know, serving and catering to. So it's when I came to that realization, it was such a weight off my mind. Like, oh my gosh, I don't have to quit my job, you know. And making it as a full-time herbalist, like, that is hard work. And those people that do that, like, bless them. I'm so glad they're out there doing that work in the world. And my work is to cater to the community that would not otherwise be exposed to those types of things.
Yes, and you never know who you might affect the ripple effect. You may not even know if someone comes by and learns a little bit about Oatstraw, what door you've opened for them. And that's sharing your gifts instead of hiding and going, oh, they're going to think I'm weird. I can't talk about this. That's not serving the world. And serving your community.
I have a funny story about that. Absolutely. So I have chickens. I had been wanting chickens for many years, and my sweetie has the contractors that he uses at his work. And I was talking with them and telling them my visions about having chickens, how I wanted to have, you know, be closer to my food source and have more love in my life. And, you know, chickens were going to be the vehicle for that. And so I'm telling this to the carpenters, right, these two kind of big burly carpenters, working guys. And they're listening to me, and I'm not getting any feedback at all from their faces. And I'm like, oh, my God, they seem to think I'm totally whack. But it turns out the one guy, he turns to me and he said, I'll build you a chicken coop. And I was so excited, right? Oh, my gosh. Well, the beauty of that story is that the two guys who came over to build my chicken coop, they were so inspired by what I was doing. They're carpenters. They went home, and they built their own chicken coops. And now they keep chickens. Like, you never know how you're going to impact people.
Right. And so, we know you'd get love from a chicken. Chickens are cute.
Yeah, so just being here and just, you know, being my full authentic self and not being afraid to talk about, like, I want chickens, they're so awesome. Like, that inspired other people to do this in the world. Like, I had no idea that was going to happen. You here they are, they're looking like these big carpenter guys and, you know, working man, and I had no idea.
Right.
And yet they were so inspired.
Well, once you see how something can be done and you realize, well, that's not that hard to do. I can take care of chickens. A lot of it is just sort of being educated and seeing somebody else do something will inspire others. So that's great. That's great. I love it. So what do you think, just as the ending kind of topic, what do you think people should focus on to make the greatest for them impact in the world? What are we needing?
That's such a great question. The world needs you to step up. Whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that your gift is to bring forth, like, we need you. We need everyone to step up and be willing to do that work. Whatever it is. And, you know, I don't think of my work as this grandiose thing on the national stage. Like, I'm helping my auntie clean out her house. You know, and that's gonna help her have a more livable space, and it's gonna make a real impact in her life. So whatever it is that is your work to do, like, be willing to step into it, even if you don't know what you're doing. Step into it and do that work in the world, because we need more loving kindness. We need more people willing to step up and make a small difference and a large difference in the world. And I don't know what other people are supposed to do. Just be willing to do that thing.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. What is your thing? What is your thing to do? And coming to a workshop such as yours, sometimes, you know, just getting with a group of people and singing and chanting may open up some doors of what it is. You know, it's not that you're going to become a singer or you're going to go, you know, teach chanting because you go to this workshop. It just opens your mind to, because just like when you're doing that chant, frees your mind to explore what it is your, what are your gifts? So, you know, it isn't about singing. It's about opening your mind. That's how I see it.
Yeah. And being willing to show up even when you don't know what's going to happen, or even if you feel uncomfortable. Like, how many times have I felt uncomfortable and yet I have to show up anyway? Oh, that's just a practice in itself.
That's true. Show up. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for sharing your story and your wisdom today.
Thank you so much, Chris. This has been so great. I'm so looking forward to the conference. I'm going to have an awesome time. I don't know if anyone else is, but I know I am.
Well, and your joy will spread to others that are at the conference. And I know that the people that you meet are the right people for you and others to meet. You just meet the right people and you make these kind of amazing connections. And we have time for that because we have the in-between workshops, we have the meals. And so, everybody check out Jennifer's website, seattleherbalist.com, and also her workshop at the conference, Sound Play, Goddess Voices, and that is on Sunday afternoon, February 17th. So check out the whole conference schedule. Like I said, you can go on Saturday, you can go Sunday, you can go for both days. It includes your meals, it includes group activities. We also have another sounding thing. Vicki Dodd is going to be doing a sound nutrition on Saturday. So there's lots of playful things. There's art workshops, there's creative things, there's spiritual minded things, there's soul work, also amazing women that we have and gifted here in the Northwest. And most people are from the Puget Sound region. So check it out at the website, womenofwisdom.org. Well, I'm going to sign off now. I hope everybody has a great day, and we'll be back sharing with more Women of Wisdom presenters in the next 2 weeks. So have a great day.
Thanks very much, Chris.
You're welcome. Bye.